Welcome to the Ladies of Liverpool podcast.
Everything Liverpool.
Everything for ladies.
Ladies of Liverpool.
With Leanne Campbell.
It's that time again. Happy podcast day. This week's episode is a gorgeous one. A lady I've been dying to get on our podcast. It's Heidi Range of Sugar Babes, of course. So loads of questions for her, finding out what it's like leaving Liverpool, joining the Sugar Babes and everything in between. Sit back, relax and listen to Heidi Range.
Ladies of Liverpool.
Everything Liverpool.
Everything for ladies.
Hello, good morning.
Hi.
Heidi. How are you?
I'm good, thanks. How are you?
Lovely. Oh, I'm brilliant. I'm actually loving lockdown at the minute, so the sun's out, so I'm delighted. Yeah, how are you coping?
I'm good. I mean, I feel like things are slowly returning to a bit more of normal life the last couple of weeks. So it's quite nice to be able to see people and chat to them, isn't it? You know, after all this time in isolation.
Isn't it just? But you're locked down with a little one as well. Tell me about the baby. How's she coping?
She's been great. You know, I actually think she's loved it because she's only two. She's 2.5, and to have her daddy at home all week, she just loves. I mean, he's actually still been working full time, but from upstairs. But he'll pop down, you know, at lunchtime and throughout the day, and she loves that. And I think they just love that sense of security, don't they?
I think so, yeah. I think the kids are going to have lovely memories of this, you know.
Yeah, they are. And so, you know, it's been a heartbreaking time and it's been a scary time. But there's been some lovely moments as well. And we've done things as a family that we would never have even thought of doing. I mean, I've had picnics in a trampoline. I've had picnics in the bathroom. Like anything to change it up.
Isn't this just the Scouse way, though? I think Scouse mums just absolutely smash lockdown. We get all creative, don't we?
I mean, the amount of toilet roll holders I've gone through, the amount of animals I've created out of them. And every time my husband comes down, she's got a new one made for him waiting at the bottom of the stairs to take upstairs to his computer.
Oh, well, how are you finding being away from home? Because I've got a couple of mates who are locked down in places that they call home now, but aren't, you know, essentially aren't Liverpool. They're not close to the people they love, even if it's just to walk by and knock on the window. Just to have that taken away from you. How's that been for you?
It's been hard. I mean, I'm so close to my mum and sister. God, I'm getting emotional now.
Oh,
and I haven't seen them since January, which was Aurelia's second birthday. And that's been horrible. And it was my sister's 40th during lockdown as well. And we were all meant to be going to Marrakesh to celebrate that. And not to be able to be with her on the day was horrible. But the main thing is that we're all healthy and safe and, you know, I'll see them soon, hopefully.
Ladies of Liverpool.
So let's go back to the beginning. Talk me through how you ended up in the Sugar Babes, because, of course, you were originally an Atomic Kitten.
I was in Atomic Kitten when I was at school. And that came about because I went to Elliot Clark's dance school. And they were approached by the producers who were putting together Atomic Kitten for girls to go and audition. So I went and auditioned and got the part in that. And I was 15 at the time. So I was recording with the girls in and around school. And then I got a call from producers I'd met previous to that in London who wanted to manage me as a solo artist. So I ended up leaving Atomic Kitten and coming to London at 16, and I was recording with them for...
That's a brave move, isn't it? For so many reasons. Brave to be in London. I went to London at 16, but to college. But to go out there and launch a career at 16 is a brave move. Go out there like you've gone to the States, but to go from Liverpool to London, it's massive, especially at that age, to turn you back on Atomic Kitten as well.
Yeah, well, it was a tough decision to make because obviously the music was brilliant and the producers were brilliant and the girls, and I did love the music, but I was offered a solo deal by Stock Aitken Waterman, and I just thought that was a really good opportunity. So I went with that decision, and I was recording with them, and that didn't work out. And I was approached by another manager who'd been managing Eternal, and he wanted me to sign a deal with him. And I went to see a music lawyer, and she was a Liverpoolian, Sarah Stenny, and she was the manager of Sugar Babes, and she convinced me not to sign this deal and asked me to go with her. And so I was about to do solo with her. And then I got a call just randomly one day from her saying, one of the girls has left the Sugar Babes. Can you come down tomorrow and audition with the girls? So I had to go, me and my mum had to go to HMV, buy their CD. And I had to learn the songs overnight and get on the train and come to London the next day. And just went into this rehearsal room and had to sing Overload and Run for Cover with the girls and do an interview with them. Yeah. And then I got on the train back home the same day, and they rang me and said, can you come back tomorrow for a photo shoot? We want you to be in the group. And that was it. And then I was in London then from, like, they put me up in a hotel. I was on CD UK a week later. I mean, it was just an absolute whirlwind. And then yeah. I think about 3 months later, I was stood on stage giving Eminem an award at the MTV Awards in Germany. What? It was just crazy.
Oh, we're getting all the goosebumps listening to this, Heidi. This is unbelievable.
It's mad, but you'll know. You know, you've done all the auditions, and I think when you love singing and you're desperate for that to be your career, you're just sending your CD off to everyone and auditioning for everything and just seeing what opportunities come about. I was just determined that you know, that was the main thing.
Yes, and the support of your family, I imagine, was top notch.
I mean, my mum would be getting the coach with me back and forth to London to, you know, we'd buy the stage every Thursday from WH Smith.
Oh, do you remember that?
Putting the circle around all the different auditions.
Ladies of Liverpool. Everything Liverpool. Everything for ladies.
Take us back then. So you start performing. Overnight, everything just changes. Your whole life just changes. What's your ultimate memory, like the gig that you'll just never forget? Or it could be something really personal about your time in the Sugar Babes.
There was loads, but I think it was always quite emotional coming home and doing gig. I'm getting emotional again. Coming home, you just felt really proud, you know, that you finally got there, and that was lovely to come home and have all your family at the shows. We performed at Nelson Mandela's 90th birthday, and that was amazing, and I got to take my nan, which was brilliant. And she loved them, and you could take one guest each, and she was over the moon because Oprah was there, and she was obsessed with Oprah. And we were at this big dinner in Hyde Park the night before the concert. Everyone who was performing went to this dinner, and you know, had ball gowns on, and I got a hair and makeup done, and she was just in awe, sat there, you know, that he was in the room, and you know, Bill Clinton and all sorts. And you wasn't. Wow. Somebody said who was commentating on stage, you know, you went to harass Oprah. And later on in the evening, we were sat on a table with Gordon Ramsay, and I was saying how much my nan loved him, loved Oprah. And I'd had a few drinks by then, and he was like, well, you've got to go and ask her for a picture. And I was like, do you think? And he was like, of course you have. So because I had a bit of Dutch courage, I went over and said, look, my nan absolutely loves you and has bought every book you've recommended. And she went, go and get her. So I'm sprinting through this tent. Nan, Oprah wants a picture. And she got one. And that was like, she had it up in the porch. She, you know, showed it to everyone. And that was one of my highlights, because my nan was like a second mum to me. And she loved that. It was a really special moment with her.
That's something you just can't buy. You can wish and wish and wish for. It was just such a lucky, lucky time for you, wasn't it?
Yeah.
To line up and happen for your nan.
Yeah, it was.
I'm getting all choked up listening to you.
I can't believe you've got me crying. But it was. I'm pleased that all happened, because we've lost me nan since, and I'm pleased that she got to see it all, you know, and enjoy it.
Oh, we just know how proud our families are, and it means the world. All these little things and big things like that, they're your memories. You'll sit back, you know, as my nan would say, if God's good, and you sat there, you're 90 odd, and you think of all the wonderful things that happened to you. It's the ones that you share with the people you love, isn't it?
Every time I go home, she'd be like, oh, the taxi driver's granddaughter wants a autograph, and I'd be like, Nan, how does the taxi driver know that I'm your granddaughter? You're telling everyone everywhere you go.
I was a big fan of all the tunes, I've got to be honest. There was nothing like the Sugar Babes tunes. I love them. I once, there was a shop closing down in town not long ago, and I was made up because I'd lost my CD. You know, over the years, you just lose all your CDs because everything moves to Spotify and everything else. And I was coming out of work out the tower, and this shop was closing down, and they were selling Sugar Babes CDs.
Oh, really?
They must have found a box somewhere. And I had it on in the car, and I was like, why does this still sound so good? They're like timeless, the tunes. What was your favourite one then? The one that you go, oh, that, nothing compares to that one.
I love, it was an album track called Breathing Easy. I love it. It's a ballad, because I love ballads. And then to perform live, I always love doing About You Now. Everyone always went crazy for that one. And Too Lost in You, I love as well. I love that one. And because I love Love Actually, the film. It's one of my favourite. I mean, Christmas is my favourite time of year, and I watch that movie every year. And that's how we discovered our daughter's name as well, because I'd never heard her name anywhere before, and I'd seen the film so many times. And she was due in the January, and over the Christmas, we were watching it, and I picked up on that name for the first time. And I was like, oh my God, isn't that a gorgeous name? So her name's Aurelia, and that's the name of the Portuguese housekeeper who Colin Firth proposed to.
I always wondered where you got the name from, because I've never heard it.
Up until like a few weeks before she was born, we were going to call her India. That was the name I'd always had. And then when I heard, I just picked up on it, and I was like, oh, I love that name. It's gorgeous.
And it suits her, doesn't it? We bumped into each other in Farmer Ted's not long ago.
Yeah,
and
we
she's like a little live wire, isn't she? Smile, and she just beams, doesn't she?
She's gone back to nursery this week. Two mornings she does, and I was really nervous about her going, and I was quite upset the night before. I was like, oh, I'm really gonna miss her. And she just went off, and she was like, bye bye mummy. And then she come out on Tuesday, picked her up, and the first thing she said was, I want to go back into nursery. And I thought, oh, great, I've bored you, haven't I, for these past 3 months.
Ladies of Liverpool.
Everything Liverpool. Everything for ladies.
So the end of Sugar Babes comes to your attention. Was it your decision to leave? Did it just sort of come to a natural end?
I think it was a bit of both. Yeah, I was at a stage where I'd had enough, because I've been with the group for 11 years, and it was incredible. You know, it's an amazing thing to have experienced. It was just coming to a natural end. There'd been so many changes. And at the time, I was engaged to somebody else. I was about to get married and felt like I wanted to settle down and have a family. And to be honest, I just didn't want the drama anymore. You know, there'd been so many different things that we'd been through as a group. So, and I think it was, you know, the interest was dwindling from the public as well. I think they probably had enough of the drama. So I think everyone just felt it was time to call it a day. There wasn't like a dramatic, oh, we're going to split. It was like, I think this is probably it now.
Yeah. Do you see the girls anymore? Do you speak to them, or did you all just drift apart?
We kind of drifted apart. I do keep in touch with Amel, and she had a little girl not long after I had Aurelia. And so she came over last year with the little one just for a coffee, and that was really nice. But she doesn't live in London anymore, so we kind of drifted apart. I've seen Jade at the odd thing, and I haven't seen Keisha and Mussia for years. I saw them at Fee Festival probably, 8 years ago now, you know. But no, we kind of just naturally drifted apart, I guess.
Yeah, I suppose you all went in different directions, because after the Sugar Babes then, off you go. We saw you doing Dancing on Ice. Did you enjoy that?
Do you know what? That was a bit of an out-of-body experience. I think I was like, the band had just finished. I went through a massive breakup with my ex, who I'd been with for 8 years, and I was offered the show, and it was one of them things where I just went, yeah, I'll do that. And didn't
some
really
girls
give it
cut
much
the
thought.
Hair and do a dramatic visual change. You get yourself booked on Dancing on Ice.
Yeah. I think I was having a bit of a breakdown when I did that, and it was like,
really?
Yeah, I was, because it was such a massive change for me career-wise and personally, and I think it was a bit of a blur. I wish I'd done it almost when I was a bit more present and a bit more myself and could throw myself into it properly. I was a bag of nerves the whole time I did it. But it got me through that period of time, so I'm pleased I did do it. The one I'd love to do, I'm desperate to do Strictly. I'm obsessed with it, and I just want to put one of them dresses on and do a waltz, you know?
You'd be fabulous.
I just think it's so magical. So yeah, I'd love to do Strictly. And I'd love the baby to see me do Strictly. I think she'd really enjoy it.
You're still in that book. In this, when you see people who've done really, really well for themselves and they're fortunate enough to be able to take themselves away and not pine for it. You know, you see some celebrities, and without speaking out of turn, you can see that they need the spotlight. They need people looking at them. You, for me, have never been like that.
Yeah, I mean, I'm lucky that the last few years, you know, I met my husband and I've had my daughter, and I'm just enjoying family life, really. I'm not chasing something else at the moment, but something like Strictly, I know I would really enjoy. And I think, like I was saying, the little one already, if I put a dress on and come down, she goes, "Oh, mummy, I like your pretty dress." And I think, imagine how she'd be seeing mummy in one of those big glittery dresses dancing.
Yeah.
It'd be really nice. But hopefully at some point the opportunity might come about.
Do you see yourself living in London forever, Heidi? Do you ever think of yourself coming home?
Do you know what? Since lockdown, I've really wanted to move out, just to have a bigger garden for the little one and be around more open space. I mean, I do love London. I've been here for 19 years, Leanne. Yeah. I've been here longer than...
Is that longer than you were in... Yeah?
Yeah. I mean, you wouldn't tell from the accent.
I was just about to say, do you know, my cousin Julie, who listens to these podcasts religiously, she moved to New Zealand and she's still... Her two kids, you would think they were born and bred in New Zealand. They were young when they went out there. She's been out there. They're like in their 20s now, the kids. And she still speaks exactly like she did the day she jumped on that plane and emigrated. Yeah. She's never lost her accent, and you're the same.
Yeah, it hasn't faded at all, and I you know, I haven't wanted to change it, so you know, I'm proud of my accent. So yeah, but I've been here for 19 years and I do love it, and I've got loads of lovely friends here. I mean, I've got my best friend is my best friend from school at home. We've known each other since we were 5. So I love coming home and seeing all my mates and family, but I think I'm settled here now. But I have started to get the bug to move a bit further out now and just want a bit more space for the little one to run around.
So will you be putting more kids in the new house, do you think, Heidi?
I hope so. I'd love more kids, yeah. Mm-hmm. We'll have to see if we're lucky enough to have some more. But yeah, I'd love two more, actually.
Ladies of Liverpool.
Apart from kids and a lovely rural house, maybe a couple of farmyard animals, what else would you like to be doing in the next couple of years?
Just appreciate things more, like slowing down. Like, since I had Aurelia, I was like taking her to different classes every day and running here, there, and everywhere. In these last few weeks, I'm like, she's 2, she doesn't need it. She just wants to be sat on the couch reading books together, or I'm just enjoying being at home, actually, and not trying to go to loads of different places, just like chill out and appreciate what you've got. And just want to spend more time.
A bit like that.
I definitely want to travel more. I mean, you know, I've got, I can't wait to get on holiday and go and have a break somewhere and on a nice beach. That'd be nice. But yeah, I just want to focus on my family, really, at the moment.
Sounds lovely. Before you go, though, I need to ask you a few quick fire questions about Liverpool. So the first thing that comes into your mind, tell us all about it. I'm going to ask you first, did you ever shop in Grady?
Yeah, every Saturday. Yeah, we used
did
to
you
go
love
to
it?
I used to love it. And then we used to go to the chippy there. There was a chippy at the end of the market.
And there'd be queues coming out of it?
Yeah. I used to love it, and they put loads of salt and vinegar on the chips, and we'd get the chips and then go back to my nan's with them. But my dad had a stall in Gracie Market as well, selling kids' clothes. So sometimes me and my sister would go with him for that, or we'd go with my mum. And I saw something online the other day. Someone put a picture up of Gracie where you was trying to find the other shoe.
Do you know, I don't know if you know, follow Lindsay. I work at Cricket in Liverpool. I follow her on Instagram, and we got talking on her inbox, and I said, I'm going to get you on the podcast to talk about the old Liverpool fashions and the things we used to do. And that one where it had the size of the shoe in chalk on the back of the shoe in Gracie.
Yeah.
You've got to be fighting to get the other shoe.
To find the other one, yeah.
Yeah. Well, that's coming in a podcast soon. What about Pleasure Island? Did you ever go to Pleasure Island?
Yes, yeah. Well, Pleasure Island was the one down by the Festival Gardens, wasn't it?
That's the one. Did you ever brave it down the death slide?
No, I didn't. My sister did, but she was always like the brave one. But no, I didn't. I was too scared.
Did you ever cop off when you were there?
No, I was too young when I was going there.
That's when all the little 13-year-olds used to go to try and cop off.
Yeah.
I remember there'd be gangs of lads and your nerves would be gone because they'd be trying to cop off with you. You'd be like, no.
My mum actually FaceTimed me from there the other day because she'd gone for a walk there, and she was showing me, you know, the Japanese monument. She was like, do you recognise where I am?
It's gorgeous, isn't it? It is absolutely, still absolutely gorgeous. We've got some gorgeous places. What about the first nightclub you can remember going to?
It wasn't the Paradox. Was it the Kiss? The Kiss down from the Paradox to the foam party.
Oh, well, you lived around there, didn't you?
Yeah, we lived in Aintree. So, my first one was the Kiss foam party, and everyone from our year in school was in there. And I remember we probably spent like about 4 months planning what we were going to wear, you know. It was like, I went to Drome and got a pair of these baby blue skin tight leggings and like this multicolour vest. I felt amazing in my new Drome outfit. And then it was ruined after the foam party.
Oh, wow. Funny, the best days, weren't they? The absolute best days. But God help us when our two little ones are trying to do the same thing.
Oh, God,
our two girls asking to go to a kids' club?
Oh, God, no. She's two. I'm not even going to let my mind wander there yet.
Oh, Heidi, that was absolutely lovely. Thanks so much for being one of our ladies of Liverpool. I know we'll get loads of feedback on this. Oh, no, it's an absolute delight. You've been on my list for ages, so I'm glad I've locked down to pin you down.
Yes. Oh, well, thanks a lot. I really enjoyed it.
We'll see you soon, no doubt, back in Liverpool.
Thanks for listening.
Subscribe now
via the iTunes Store. Hear more from the Ladies of Liverpool via ladiesofliverpool.com.